Rakai, are you ready to laugh your head off?
Yes.
You know why? Because I have searched up on the internet jokes that will make you laugh every time.
Right on. Okay, ready? I'm curious to see if they're right about this.
What's the best thing about Switzerland?
Their cheese?
I don't know, but the flag is a big plus.
Yeah, okay.
And that has been jokes that make you laugh every time.
Right, yeah. Okay. Wait, I got one.
Okay.
My friend, he recently just flunked his Aboriginal music course exam. And I asked him, did you redo that? Did you redo it?
Oh my God! I didn't process it.
All right, welcome back to the poor.
Welcome back to the poor podcast.
The poor cast. Okay, wait. Welcome back to the Bored Podcast. This is the fourth episode, if I'm not mistaken. And wait. Let me say it. We are in season one.
Oh,
I'm dropping season.
You're dropping
now.
The season. That's
I'm dropping
exactly
the
right.
Season card.
We are here. Season one of the Bored Podcast, the world's greatest podcast.
The world's greatest podcast. Yeah,
the best podcast.
Allegedly.
That is being recorded right now in this room.
Yes.
Sean.
God.
Oh, my.
Are you serious? Is that a Tinder chick?
Hold on.
Anyway, later in the episode, we're going to have some guests. They are sitting in the room with us, and they are, honestly, they're not off to a good start. Their phones are going off. They're talking about women, which isn't a bad thing, but, like, they're on Tinder, okay? They're on Tinder.
I guess he just can't stop. He can't stop swiping.
He's addicted already. He only downloaded it today. We'll talk about it with him later, but.
Yeah. Anyway. We just got back from a slam poetry competition.
That we did.
Where me and Rakai were the judges of slam poetry.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was crazy.
I don't
crazy.
Know how we got into that situation, but we got there.
Yeah, and then next thing, we were holding cards that had numbers on them.
We held the power in our hands.
Yeah, we did.
To judge these slam poets.
We just rolled up, and I guess we looked like the type of people that would be into doing that. Judging people while they're pouring their hearts out to us.
How do you judge someone that's pouring their hearts out to you?
Harshly.
You give them a one.
Yeah, no.
Too much emotion.
Too much emotion. You made me feel things.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a really great competition. There's a lot of talent here in Wanaka. It's a really small town, but, man, I was blown away. There's some really great people. Performing.
Yeah, I mean,
really
that was
well.
My first time really experiencing slam poetry. And yeah, it was good.
You were impressed?
It was what I thought it was.
Oh. is that
I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I'm not really into it.
Really? Okay.
I'm not into it. But I can see how people can be.
Yeah. That's fair. That's a fair assumption.
I feel like
Uh-huh. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
See, I really enjoyed it. I like the rhythm. I like the flowiness of it. I like creative, weird ways of saying things that spark the imagination and.
No, for sure. Yeah. When we heard a good one, I liked it.
Yeah.
But some of them, when they get too kind of cliche into what I think slam poetry is, I didn't like it.
I mean, I think nobody likes to hear. What they've already heard before.
No, exactly. You know, yeah. Give me something new.
Yeah, give me something fresh. And we got fresh. I'd say we got fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least some of it was fresh.
At least some of it.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was interesting to judge, though, because these people, you know, they finish, and then they're looking at the crowd, and you're just like, I'm going to give you a 9.
Honestly,
out of 10.
If you told me this morning that I would be judging a slam poetry competition...
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the last thing that I thought I was going to be doing
tonight. I never thought I would ever be in that position. In fact, if you would have told me that I was going to be in that position, I would have been like, that's ludicrous. I'm not going to be judging people based on their art.
They wouldn't
and
take...
yet, I was there raising cards like, woo!
They wouldn't take someone off the street that obviously doesn't know much about slam poetry and turn them into the judge of a slam poetry competition.
Yeah, we had these people, their fate was in our hands.
Yeah.
quite literally. I mean, we were holding the cards that would decide whether they would go. We had the cards that would decide whether they go forward in the show. And it's harsh too, because some people, like, they read their first poem, right? And then some of them just get cut. They only get to read one poem. That was it. That's their show for the night. Whereas if you make it further, you get to read more. But, like, imagine, like, you know what? Like, I'm pretty good. I'm going to do, you know, the poem that I'm not very confident with first, because, like, I'm pretty sure it'll get me through. And then just getting cut by a couple of dudes who knew nothing about slam poetry holding cards.
Yeah. But, like, I feel like we've done the judging, so I feel like we should be doing the slam poetry next time.
Oh, I
me and
Rakai
will be attending the next slam poetry competition and competing in it.
Yes, we will be there, B square.
And right now, I feel like we should give off a little
improvisation.
Improvisation slam
really?
Poetry. Go
are
on.
You going to go first, David?
No, I think you are.
You think I'm going to go first?
I think you're going to go first. Give me
okay.
like 10 seconds of slam poetry.
10 seconds of slam poetry.
Yeah, it can be.
Okay, give
anything.
Me a, give me a, you know, because, you
a
know,
subject?
Improv. Give me a subject. Yeah.
It's about.
Should we wait? Okay. Should I just talk about being in this situation?
Nope. This slam poetry is going to be about the government.
The government?
Yes.
Which government?
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Governments.
I want your slam poetry to let me know that government bad.
You're just going for the throat on this one.
Yeah. You don't have to give me a lot, though. I just
okay,
just
a little bit.
Taste,
just
yeah,
a little
teaser.
Bit. Okay. The people divided will fall undecided among those who have no idea what they're talking about. And they will flow back and forth between blue and red, right and wrong. What does it all mean? Applause at a game show. And we have no idea who won, because there is no winner in this horrible game that we call. And they're snapping. I'm winning. Guys, that's a 10. It's got to be. It's got to be a 10. Come
yeah,
on, give me snaps.
It's a 10.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Thank you. Thank
the
you.
Flicking.
Thank you.
I really like the flicking.
The snapping.
Yeah, yeah.
The snapping is so good.
That's what
yeah.
I thought with slam poetry. It's just like,
yeah,
it's my
anyway,
turn.
That, okay, yeah, David's turn.
Just know that I'm not as good as at literature as Rakai is. So this
that
is going to be interesting.
Good. I don't know. Okay. Let me,
yeah.
Let
I'm
me.
Not as good at literature as Rakai.
Well, can I? Should I give you a subject?
Yeah, don't. It's not government, because I've already given that to you.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Okay. How about camera lenses?
Camera lenses, okay.
About it can be anything you want. Anything that has to do with cameras. Lenses, light. Going through
I
glass.
Click your button, capturing every moment that lies before me.
Mm.
The sunlight glistens across my lens, creating, what is the art? What is it? Is it the light reflections, or merely the portrayal of my mind through this medium?
Come on, guys. Snaps.
The audience is dead. They're on their phones.
Oh, I like that last line. That was powerful.
That was.
It started off a little, you know, can I say it was a little sensual? You know, it was a little sensual.
Well, yes. My yeah, exactly. That's what I was going for.
You can click my button.
If you don't know what this clicking is, it's because in slam poetry, if they say if you like something, don't be like, woo, or clap, because that kind of
throws
people off.
Yeah.
So you just gotta click.
Yeah, just a little bit of clicking. I did a lot of clicking. I was very enthusiastic. Let me tell you.
You're a clicker.
I was so down. I was so down with all of it. I was thoroughly enjoying myself.
I've been thinking, Rakai.
You've been thinking. Do you do that a lot?
Sometimes. Every now and then I like to think. But this is something.
You like to think that you think more than other people.
No, I don't think I think more than other people.
I think that's
I know
what
that you
just
think
said.
A lot, Rakai. But I think, yeah. No, but I had a thought. It's like a shower thought.
Yeah, okay.
What if I'm in a coma right now and none of this is real?
Well, it'd still be real, wouldn't it?
No, there, but what if I woke up from a coma and I've been in a coma my whole life? This is a coma dream this whole life. And
yeah.
I woke up and my real self is not actually a human at all. I'm
yeah.
just some crazy thing. Or maybe I am human.
Yeah, yeah.
I woke up in this body and no one that exists in my mind is real. Everyone else is different. I have a completely different set of group, completely different set of friends.
Yeah, yeah.
My family's different.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's different.
Okay, but at the same time, like, we still exist in as firings in your brain, synapses. We like, you're in a brain that's powerful enough to create other consciousnesses. Yeah,
have you ever had that thought?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about it?
What do I think about it? I think there's no way to prove that that's not correct. Like, you know, there's no way to prove that none of this, that all of this is real. There's no way to prove anything to 100% certainty. So, yeah, I've thought about it.
Are you real, Rakai?
Am I real? Well,
to
I hope
you, you're real.
According to me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then it might just be my mind pretending, well, not pretending, saying that you're real. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, goes back to faith in a weird way. Yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. Well, faith, because you have to have faith. The only way to exist in the world where you have no idea if anything's real is having faith that it is real.
That's true.
Or you could not have faith, and that's totally okay, too, and just be like, oh, yeah, nothing's real, but whatever. Yeah. You could just be a full-on skeptic, live in a box, yell at the sun.
I know people like that.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not something I'm striving to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
what if I woke up from a coma and all of this was fake?
Yeah. Well,
what would I do? What would you do in that situation? Would you go and, like, make a podcast?
If I woke up and everything was fake?
I don't know. What if snowboarding didn't even exist in the place you woke up?
Well, then I got something really good at that I wish was real. And it's all a fantasy. And, you know, I think, yeah, well, then that's implying that it's possible that we're not even human. But the human brain, or whatever brain I'm in, is very, 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 what's the word I'm looking for? Very resilient. Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. The human brain, or whatever brain that I'm in, is incredibly, incredibly resilient. So I think that it can adapt to any new normal. So if the normal switches from being the reality that I'm in right now to this other reality that I presumably was in before this reality, it might take time, but eventually it would snap back. Am I just rambling? Is that?
I don't know.
What do you think about that, David?
If I woke up in that situation, I'd just...
There's no way of knowing.
There's no, there is. There's no way of knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if, like, you lived a whole life growing up until you're, like, 80 years old.
And then
you woke
I'm
up
here.
From a coma and you're young again.
Would
you change anything?
Actually,
you don't know because you're not 80 years old.
No. But all I know is that I'm waiting for a train. And I don't know where this train will take me. But I know, wait, what is the line from Inception?
I forgot, but I know that.
Yeah, you know the line, yeah. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, head on a train track. That's what I would do. I'd let my head get run over by a train.
What?
There's the answer to your question, David.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're doing this with a slightly an audience, the biggest audience we've had, because we've only ever had solo guests. But now we have two people, and they're watching me and David have a conversation, and I feel self-conscious.
We have some special guests here today in the room, in the studio, the podcast studio. And you probably know them. You probably know them.
Probably seen them.
Introducing around. Sean Watson and Levi Mensah.
They just took a bow, just so they if just, you can't see it. Thank you.
Levi is one of my oldest friends. We met in primary. We met in kindergarten, and Sean is another one of my close friends, and they're here today.
Right on.
Yeah. I mean, you probably know if you watch my videos, you've seen these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're rad, and you can probably tell from the videos.
Yeah. Sean and Levi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Good to be here.
It's fantastic. It's an honor.
Yes. We have a funny story for me and Levi. The very first time that Levi came over to my house to hang out, I shot him in the face with a bow and arrow.
Yes, you did. It hurt a lot, and I cried immediately. And I spent more time with your dad consoling me than I think I did with you on that whole day.
It was funny. Like, we... It was his very first time coming over to my house. I don't know how old we would have been, like...
Probably like four, maybe five.
You walk through the gates, and I already have my bow and arrow locked and ready, locked and loaded. And I shot, and it was a long shot. Yeah. It wasn't like a close-up shot. I was accurate. Like,
I mean, it was a good shot, to my dismay. It yeah. was good.
Right in the eye.
Just walk in.
Yep.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
Would that first experience being, I mean, it's a little bit traumatic. Would you say that brought you guys closer together?
Possibly.
Yes, because the next time we hung out, Levi hit me in the face with a seatbelt.
I was going to go there.
Yeah.
I got him back soon after, unintentionally, but hey, that's how it works.
It was intentional. It was revenge. It was the revenge of the... Yeah. It was a vengeful seatbelt swing. Yeah. It was like, how was it? I was sitting in, it was the middle seatbelt, right? Like the one that just goes around your waist.
Yeah, I must have.
And you just freaking swung it. And it hit me in the eye. Oh. So he got his revenge.
I did.
You guys sound like a couple of little asshole kids.
We were probably like the complete opposite. We were actually real good, quiet kids, but you know.
Yeah.
Just assholes to each other, you know.
So, Sean, what you the other day you had a feat that I was actually incredibly impressed with. You strolled through the halls of a little place called the Fear Factory in Queenstown. If you haven't been to it, it's terrifying. I've done it before, and I couldn't imagine doing it alone until I saw the man who was with us tonight.
Yeah.
Tell us about that experience.
Well,
just say a little bit.
That experience was, yeah, quite extraordinary. I just, at the start, I was I didn't know what to expect, but it was all based off.
All right, let's stop it right there. let's talk about, before we get into that, let's talk about how you got into the situation.
Right. Oh, yes, okay, the situation. Well, the situation.
You didn't just voluntarily just go do it.
Yes, well.
It wasn't like a super bold movie, like, check this out, guys, this is going
to
be sick.
Yeah, well, David and I were driving in a car to improv class, and I think beforehand he'd give me some massive frights at my house, and he...
I do like doing that.
Yes, you do.
You have the best reactions, Sean.
Thank you. Well, that's very kind. I don't know how we got onto the topic, but I think I
said... Well, no, this is how it happened. Yeah. We were just talking... You were saying something about being fearless and how you weren't afraid of anything.
Yeah, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I brought up this horror maze that I've done a couple times in Queenstown. Yeah. It's just like one of those haunted mazes you walk through, people try to scare you. And I said, hey, Sean, since you're not afraid of anything, you should walk through this maze by yourself.
Yep.
And you said, okay.
Yeah, okay. And I didn't think it would be scary at all. And I just thought, there really is nothing to fear. Yeah. And I just wanted to challenge you and do it. But
and this was around 2 months ago.
2 months ago, and to be honest, I didn't actually think I would ever actually do it. I thought it was just going to be something we were talking about. But
exactly, you had no idea.
Yeah.
And then you came down here a few days ago.
Yeah, which we had just arranged 2 weeks ago.
And it feels like every time I ask you about this, you somehow forget. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, so we're doing the Fear Factory.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to throw you a little bit. Yeah.
But also, going back to only fearing fear itself, what happened? Because,
yeah,
I mean, you kind of proved your point a little bit, I would argue. Yeah.
Well, I think I did as well. And I think it just came down to realizing that everything in that room is fake and that they're all just actors and that there's nothing real in there. And it's all about your mindset. And I went in with the mindset that there's nothing bad that can happen, nothing bad that can come out of this. So
that was
so
good. Yeah. That's amazing, Sean.
Oh,
I honestly thought you were going to freak out and say chicken. I'm not gonna lie.
Well,
if you if you say chicken, they turn all the lights on in the maze and they escort you out.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I was just more kind of, I felt a bit bad for the actual scarers themselves because, you know, when they're giving you a fright, you want to kind of, you know, give, you know, be scared. But I just didn't. And I think they probably felt awkward by it.
And maybe it's also because we had a little bit of a deal. If you if you didn't go through this maze, because you were super confident, you're like, yeah, man, I'll do that. Sounds easy. So I was like, all right, if you don't do it, you got to shave your head.
That's
and you
right.
were like, yeah,
yes.
Of course. So was it a bit of, I just don't want to shave my head, so I'm going to do this?
I think that definitely came into play, yes. I was kind of locked in there. Because
you were definitely afraid.
Oh, I was scared.
You're lying. Dude, you got a bloody nose before you went in.
True, that could have been from the stress.
Is this a sign?
True, that was not a good start. Yeah, no. I was scared. It felt like I was going on stage for some performance. Yeah, it was not a nice feeling. But at the same time, I also had the mindset that, you know, there's nothing to be scared of. But it was conflicted. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I think my favorite moment from seeing you, because we got the video back. I think the Nixonian salute down the hallway, the double peace sign, just threw this scare. Because I remember that hallway from when I did it, and I was shitting myself. And so just seeing you just strolling through with the peace signs outstretched, I mean, it was a sight to behold.
Peace and love. That's what.
That's also the other thing. Me and Rakai have done this maze twice.
Right.
And I don't know about Rakai, but I was really scared.
Yeah.
Like, I had my eyes shut for 80% of it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, like, there was a lot more screaming when we did it compared to when you did it.
Oh, well, I think you need to go in by yourself and just experience
it. Nope, it's not going to happen. I think if I went in, I wouldn't be able to take a step through it.
Right.
I would have sat on that floor and shriveled up and died.
Something interesting, though, that the lady said before we went into Fear Factory, when we told her that we were going to do it, somebody was going to do it by themselves, she actually said that if you have multiple people, it's actually better because they feed off of each other. Could you see that being a thing?
Yes, I definitely could see that being a thing. I think, the group pack mentality, when someone else is screaming, you feel the need to do the same. So it's kind of like fight or flight within that group. So
yeah.
I think being by yourself, you just have yourself and you just rely on your own
And mindset. You really have to use the facilities that you have to try and get through this.
That's right. Combat. It's just up to you and you only. Yeah. So
it's pretty cool. I was a little bit, you know, I wanted to do it. I wanted to try. I still want to try it by myself. I think we probably will go back. Because I said that if you did it, I would do it. I have to go back and do it. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to see kind of how I'm going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to see how you do, Rakai.
Yes. That's going to be an awesome moment, that. Yeah.
I might imply the Nixonian salute. I might do it.
Please do. Peace and love.
Levi, you found a way to print free money.
I found a way to print free. Well,
that sounds so illegal. Just saying it.
That's so funny. That's a great way to introduce this story. That's awesome. Continue.
Yeah. Well, I found a way to get more money for your money.
Yeah. More bang for your buck, if you will.
Exactly.
Well, this was how long ago was this? This was 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago, and it was it wasn't actually me that found it out. No. I got a Snapchat from my friend, and he just sent me a picture holding maybe like $1,000 in cash in all 50s. And then he was like, you got to come to this ATM.
This is the magic ATM, by the way.
This supposedly magic ATM, no matter what you asked it to give you, you were going to get 50s. So you go take out 20, you get a 50.
Wait, Sean, were you there?
Yes, I was there. Yep. I saw it in full sight.
Did you also profit off of the magic ATM?
I did as well. I took the opportunity. Despite feeling so guilty afterwards, I did jump at the opportunity.
That's so good. Wait, so what? So you found an ATM that no matter what you asked it for, like you could ask it for $5, it would give you a $50 note.
Yeah, it would. The minimum was a 20, so you can do 20 and get a 50. But then if you did 40, you got 100. Oh. If you did 60, you got 150.
That's like, I don't even know the percentage profit on that, but that's insane.
It was a lot.
And yeah, that's over 100% profit.
Yeah, and my
you're putting $20 in, and you're you know.
and my friend got out maybe like $500. So
oh man, how much did you get out?
I think I only got out the 20 because at the time I think I was quite broke. But I was like, yo, free $30.
Yeah, but then you had to give it back, right?
Well, I got a call from the bank like 2 days later, like, "Hi, we're from the bank in this specific branch," and I was like, "Hey,"
and they were "Did you find the magic ATM?" Yeah.
But they were like, "Did you happen to be at this ATM at this time, and did you get some money out?" And I was like, "Yeah," and they were like, "Apparently there was a problem, like it was giving out different kind of money," and then so I was just like, "Oh well." I'll just be honest, and I was like, yeah, it gave me a 50, and they're like, okay, cool, we'll just deduct the rest of the money from your account.
Oh.
So they just took the extra $30 because I got the 50.
Wow, you only did the 120, and they punished you for being honest, basically.
They punished me.
Like, you know that there were a lot more people who were like, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about, and they can see on their screen, like, well, no, we see that you did that. Like, we know that you were here at this time, and they got away with it. And you were honest. See, that's how the world works. It's all, oh, it's horrible.
I was just not wanting to put myself in trouble's way.
Yeah, but we had some of our other friends, like, they didn't have to return the money.
Well, the guy who got out $500, who probably made about $800, he was from a different bank. And so they had no tracing, way of tracing it down.
Oh my gosh. Because I'm not with the same bank as you, so if I was there at that situation, I'd be a millionaire right now.
I mean, you'd have to get out a lot of money to be a millionaire, but yeah.
Imagine finding that ATM and leaving with like a bunch of money. I mean, you don't have to imagine it because you did.
No, I did.
Wait, Sean, did you have to return it?
I think I got $100, or maybe I put $100 out and then I got $200, and I went and spent it straight away on an expensive protein powder. And then
really?
A couple of days later, I had to give the money back. So. It was all, I debt trapped myself, really. Yeah.
And I felt so if you come into a small fortune, it's going straight to protein powder.
That's right.
Yes. That's so good. Right.
It was kind of, the first time I had that kind of big sum of money available.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, I got some new money. Yeah. I'm going to go buy some protein powder.
Yeah. That's right.
That's why you're so huge right now.
Exactly. The protein powder did nothing. It was expensive. So
you would be a lot huger if you got $500 out and all of that went into protein powder.
Yeah, I could have bought 3 bottles. Oh, right. Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you know what our other friend spent his fortune on?
I probably can't.
Probably
say.
Can't say. Probably can't. Actually, no. Now I think about it.
There was a reason he was at the ATM in the first place.
I feel like that's a dream for a lot of people. It's a crazy situation to find yourself in. You find an ATM that gives out money.
Yeah, it was a great experience, and I think we went and ate well that night. We were like, yo, dinner's on. I think we like actually spent more than we should have at dinner because we're like, free dinner.
Yeah.
But
who's paying for it? The bank.
Yeah, I think we genuinely said that. We're like, dinner's on the bank tonight.
Yeah.
But and
Then you spent over $1,000 on dinner and then realized you had to give it back. they were just going to take it out of your account.
I genuinely think they put my account into negative balance. Because they took that much out.
Oh.
Because I didn't have that much. So I was like, that's why I only got the 20.
Right.
Man, they're always beating on the little guy, huh?
They were. They always did. I'm still held down by the bank, you know.
The man. Damn the man. The man's got you down.
The man's always going to have you down.
Even when you start getting 50s from the man.
That's true.
It's all a lie, man. He's going to come back and put, it's just bad.
Speaking of the man, our main man, Sean. Sean, you're probably one of the most interesting people I've ever met. Well, we're about to talk about this. Yes. And we've been friends for a long time. Well, me and Levi have been friends for a long time. Friends with Sean for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very long. I met you in kindergarten when I was about four. And I met Sean when I was about five. When I started school, I had already met you, but we weren't friends until we were about 6, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But then since then, we've all been close friends.
Was I your first real friend?
I think you were.
You were my first real friend.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a bonding experience.
And you shot him in the face with an arrow.
I had to test his friendship.
And it stood the test of time.
Exactly. We made little action films together when we were little.
We did. Crime fighters.
We beat up cardboard boxes. We made these action films, and we would, on my dad's little like camcorder.
Yeah.
And we would make bad guys out of tissue boxes. Like they, and we'd beat them up. That's what our films would be.
I think we'd get like plastic samurai swords and then like cut the heads off these like cardboard box men and then film it and say we were.
And we put it to
crime
like
fighters.
We put it like Green Day. Yeah. Going back to Sean. Sean, you're one of the most interesting people I've ever met. And here's a story which I thought was quite interesting. You thought you had an alien inside of you at some point.
Yes, I did. I did think that. Do I explain why?
I think so.
Yes, well, when I was in year 5 at school, which is, how old would that be? Maybe like 9 years old. I had this friend coming over to my house that I'd never hung out with outside of school before. And he brought with him a whole series of Aliens DVDs, that movie Aliens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. With the really famous scene with the alien inside. Yeah.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. And then he put it on the TV and we watched it and I didn't really know what to expect. And maybe half an hour into the movie, I'm seeing this alien jump out of a stomach or this egg being planted into someone's body and then an alien jumping out. And it was just so gruesome and there was blood everywhere. And yeah, it was so scarring as a 9-year-old. And then after that, I started to feel weird feelings in my stomach for the coming months, and I was living in fear of an alien inside of me for a very long time.
The movie, you like convinced yourself that an alien was living inside of you.
Yes, I did. And
how were you 100%? Like you believed that an alien was in you?
100%. As a kid, I already panicked about everything anyway, and that just added to the. This massive anxiety, and I think I had to go to counselling.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was that year, but it was close around then, maybe the year after, and that probably was just one of the many anxieties. Yeah, it was horrible. I don't know. Yeah,
I had things like that I didn't 100% like believe, but I thought I was gonna be Spider-Man.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I remember looking at my fingers and like, man, I swear there are those little prickly things that make me climb up walls. I was like looking at my wrist. I was like, dude, there's gonna be a web shooter there. Like, it's gonna happen. I remember thinking that. Well, you just convince yourself of things when you're little.
You thought those pals are gonna come to you eventually, grow.
I also thought I was gonna get the letter for Hogwarts. Very disappointed when that didn't happen. Oh, I thought I was a goddamn muggle, which I am.
Yeah, the things you believe as a kid, the world is your oyster.
Yeah. It's really, and especially when you're afraid of something, you really you're like, oh my god, feeling my stomach.
Yeah.
There's something in there.
That's so true. And I think actually on from that, the fear kind of spiraled into, it was just really random, but suddenly became afraid that I was pregnant as a kid. I was afraid that I was going to give birth to babies. So it kind of fed into this whole thing.
Sean, you thought you were pregnant?
Yes, as a kid, I thought I was.
Was this pregnant with an alien, or was this pregnant human baby?
Human babies. Yeah, I just thought that they could appear somehow.
That's fair. I mean, like, how would you know otherwise? I guess.
That's right. Yes, a kid, you don't know. So yeah.
So you thought you were pregnant.
Yeah.
And you had an alien inside of you.
Yeah.
Rakai thought he was Spider-Man. But there was also a crazier one. There's also a crazier thing that you thought you were. Sean, I remember you telling me this.
Yeah.
You thought you were the Antichrist.
That is great. I feel like we've all thought, maybe not on that level, but like, man, I'm evil.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
No. But you thought you were the Antichrist because everyone loved you, right?
Oh, no. I wasn't particularly liked as a kid, but I just, because I, you know, read the Bible and I saw all the stuff about the doomsdays and coming days and this evil man that's going to appear, the Antichrist, which people know. And then I just suddenly started to become afraid that I was that person and that I was going to be the one bringing destruction to the world. And I just didn't know if there was any way to disprove it. I just thought it was something that I was. Yeah, and it was a big fear for quite a long time. And then, yeah, it just...
And then it kind of just went away.
Kind of,
I guess I'm not the Antichrist. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
That's right. Just fizzled out, but yeah, it was a strange. I don't know.
Do you still sometimes wonder if you are the Antichrist?
Yes, I do.
Very real fear.
Yeah. Who knows?
No. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. I mean, I guess there's no way to know.
That's right. But I have a lot of people that hate me, so you know, and the Antichrist is going to be loved by everyone. So, yeah, I'm hating.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. That's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, see, my beliefs were always like based around like dreams of mine. Yours were nightmares.
Yes. Living and breathing nightmares. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
It was a very weird childhood. Yeah. I was a very strange kid.
And then you just learned peace and love, man.
Yeah.
Fear, the only thing to fear is fear itself.
That
just
is
gonna walk on through.
Peace and love. Peace and love. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Dude, what else did you think you were?
What else did I think I was?
Wait, Levi, did you ever think that you were something? That like Spider-Man or the Antichrist? Like on the same level.
maybe not on quite either extremes, but I might have felt for a while like I was a Jedi. I think I genuinely thought I was going to become a Jedi. A Star Wars ship was going to come down and take me away. And that was more of like me manifesting a dream, though. Every day I'd be like, no, this is going to happen. This is going to happen.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Gonna happen.
Yeah.
And it never did. Or did it?
Oh. Oh, my goodness. Dude, I thought I was a waterbender.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I'll go to the beach and the waves will come in and then I'd push them away when they were going back out. And then, like, sometimes the wave would come in and I'd be like, and then it would go around me. And I was like, dang, I'm controlling it.
I had a kind of a similar thing. Well, maybe mine's a little bit stranger behavior, but I used to try to control ants with my mind. I would look at them and just like, no, you're going to go right. Now you're going to go down the table. And they never would do what I was like. I was like, I'd put my hands to my head and just like, come on, come on. And I was at some like dinner party with my parents when I was a little kid, and some lady was telling us that, you know, you could have psychic powers and you could, like, there are people who can control ants with their brain. And I was like, what? Yeah. Oh, no, I tried multiple times. Or like, have you ever just been sitting somewhere? I sometimes still do this where you see something that you want, but you don't want to get up and you just like put your hand out and you're like, trying to force grab it, like, come on,
use the force.
Come to me. It never works, but it's worth a shot.
I don't think I've ever done that one, okay?
Oh, no. I have. It's okay.
Thank you.
I still do.
Fellow
it.
Jedi.
No. You didn't see that. I just used the force on Levi.
And I went flying.
What else? What other funny things have we done, Levi?
Have we done?
Yeah, we've done a lot of stuff. I don't know if you remember this, but like, you would come over to my. I mean, we would hang out a lot when we were younger, and one day we were on the trampoline, because we would always jump on the trampoline.
Yep.
And I guess, me and you we really liked. I don't know. We liked some girls.
Okay. But
like, I liked a girl, and you also liked a girl.
Oh yes, I remember this.
And we would jump up on the trampoline and yell their name. And
we did. We were manifesting their love by shouting their names.
Yeah.
By shouting their names at the apexes of your jumps.
Yeah, right at the top.
If we could hit it right at the top, they would hear it.
They would.
Yeah.
Can you
Boing, Rebecca!
Yes, you do remember it.
What name were you shouting, David? First and last
name. I think
name,
I was
please.
Shouting the name Shoshan.
Shoshan.
Shoshan. So I feel like, I mean, this was the start of, I feel like everyone here, we're all kind of, I don't know, romantics.
Yeah, I would.
I feel like we're not people that would go out and, like, I don't know, just have like a one night stand kind of thing.
No.
I feel like, I know you're not, Rikai.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
No.
No.
What?
Yeah?
No.
Sean definitely would have.
I've never been in a relationship, so I, and yeah, so I yeah.
So you're only a one night stand guy.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, this is a story from in France. I don't think I've told anyone this.
Wow. Okay.
This is really funny. Oh, this is like, okay. This is when I knew that I was freaking smooth. No, yeah. Like, we were in, I think we were in Monaco for my cousin's wedding. Because she married a French man, and he's really cool. But we had dinner on top of this, on top of this mountain that overlooked the ocean. It was a very romantic area. Sounds and amazing. I was, like, this little kid. Like, I was pretty chubby back in the days. I mean, I'm still, yeah. I was, like, pretty, like, And, like, I had this suit on, this fedora hat, and I thought I was the man. And, like, there was this girl that was waiting our tables, and I thought she was really cute. And, like, the whole night I was like, oh, man, I should just go talk to this chick. And I was like, this French chick. And then at the end of the night, I guess I just couldn't muster up the confidence to do it. So at the end of the night, everyone was getting into the cars to leave. And I saw her washing the dishes. And, like, I got out of the car. When I got into the car and I was like, wait a minute, I need to go to the toilet. So I...
How old were you in this situation? Did you already say that? Okay, how old were you in this situation?
I would have been around 14, 15.
Okay.
My man David. Okay, I want to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone's ready to leave. They're all in the cars. And I'm like, I see this girl washing the dishes. And I was like, I'm only going to get one shot at this. So I was like, I need to go to the toilet. So I open the door. I hop out of this car. And I walk over to her, she's washing the dishes, and I'm like, excuse me. And she's like, real friend, she's like, hello. And I was like, this is the only thing I said. I was like, I don't know if anyone's told you this, but you're beautiful.
Yes, David. Oh, that story makes me so happy. You have no idea. Oh, my. Oh, that is wonderful. That is so wholesome, too. It's just a great story.
But what did she say?
She said, thank you. And then started washing the dishes. And then I was like, I guess I just kind of froze up after that. I was like, you're beautiful. And then I walked back to the car. And then I was like, I was like, hell yeah, man, that was sick. And I was like, yeah, probably won't ever see her again. The next day.
Oh, no.
We go down to the beach to go for a swim. And I see her there. And I was like, oh, man, I wonder if she remembers me from last night. And I just couldn't muster up the confidence. Oh, I wasn't put in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have gone for it. There was something there. There was definitely something there.
But like, that's probably the most, that right there, that's honestly the most courageous thing I think I've ever done.
Wow.
Like in the moment, like the adrenaline, like I don't think I've done something that bold since that.
That would be crazy. Yeah.
Actually, no, I have, but we can talk about that in another podcast.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, that, I love that feeling though. Like when you're, it especially happens when you're younger, like you're waiting to ask the girl to dance, your palms are all sweaty, you're like, oh man. This song is almost over. I just got to do it. And then it's like, well, maybe I'll just wait till the next one. I'll just wait till the next song. And then it's like the last song of the night. And you're just like, man, I just got to do it. And then you're just like, oh, hey, like, what's your name? And then they tell you, maybe, or they're like, what? And then you just, there's no social interactions that go well as a middle schooler or whatever. Never. And then, yeah, just that is terrifying. It's a terrifying prospect, having to ask someone to dance.
It is.
Oh, but it's a good one. It's a good feeling when you do it, and they say, even if they say no, you're like, well, I did. I put myself out there. That's true. That's all it is.
Or like asking someone to like prom or the ball.
Oh yeah.
Did I ever tell you what I did to ask someone to the prom ball?
No. Wait.
No, you didn't.
Well, because in New Zealand we call it a ball, but it's like a prom.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna do something pretty interesting to ask this girl to the ball. So I went and and in my mind I was like, she's gonna find this so funny, she's just gonna have to say yes. So I went and bought a tennis ball, and then I got a Sharpie and I drew a question mark on it.
Oh.
And then
I've never heard this.
And I brought it to school with me the next day. And this was like, because I dropped out of my last year of school after doing like one semester.
Yeah.
So it was like my last day. I had this ball in my backpack. And I remember I went to the bus and I was like, damn, I forgot to give her the ball.
No.
So I like ran back into school and then I took this tennis ball out of my bag. And I just gave it to her and, like, didn't say anything. I'm like, you know what this means, right? But I don't think she did really knew what it means. And possibly. But then she got it and she thought it was really, really funny. And it turned out someone else had already asked her.
Oh, ball.
But then she said, I'd rather go with you. And, yeah, that other guy, Rip.
Mm. Oh, the tennis ball got her.
It did. You know, the effort.
A sense of humor. It always wins.
It has to.
Sean, what's the most romantic thing you've ever done?
For a girl?
For anything. For anyone.
Most romantic thing I've ever done? I'm trying to think. I really don't have much, you know, romantic moments up my sleeve.
You've never done anything romantic.
Well... I used to. What was that?
What about year five? Your little.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, I lie. I have been in a relationship, and the only time was when I was maybe 9 years old, and I asked this girl out.
How'd you do that?
To be my girlfriend. I just walked up to her. I thought she was really pretty and exotic and beautiful black hair. And I just asked her out, and
was she Asian?
Oh no, she wasn't. Okay. She was that. Actually, yeah, like, she was
very exotic.
She had a very exotic dark haired look, and I just she was the daughter of a teacher, and I just asked her out, and then it only lasted a week. I approached her at the end of the week after we had been hanging out at lunch times, and she just kind of turned away from me and didn't really say anything when I approached her, and it just fizzled out like that. It was very sad. And that's the last time I've ever been in a relationship. Yeah.
Oh, that is heartbreaking.
It is.
That is heartbreaking material.
Sad. Yeah. It just fizzled out.
Dang, man. I'm sorry, Sean.
That's okay. So, yeah, but I haven't really had any romantic moments, sadly.
You haven't really recovered.
Yeah, I haven't recovered. I'm still
recovering.
That's
a lot of baggage.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why you're on Tinder.
Yeah. Yes, forcibly. Yeah. Friends are concerned about me, so I've had to... I've been forced into making Tinder, yeah.
Right. So before I forget, we're going to do our reoccurring segment, video part of the week.
Rekai's video part of the week.
I'm going to talk about a video part that's not necessarily from this week, but I think is amazing. It's this video part that I just recently watched. It involves this guy named Chris Colburn. He's a Vermont skater. I think he grew up riding Talent Skate Park, or he worked at Talent Skate Park, Vermont. Shout out to Talent Skate Park. It's no longer around, but man, you were awesome. Anyway, Chris Colburn with Cobraman, the band that does a lot of music for some skate videos that the Warble guys do. They made a collab music video, skate video called Heatwave. It is on Thrasher. It is amazing. Chris Colburn rips really hard. You definitely got to go watch it. And it involves more power disco. So.
Oh, I love power disco.
We all love power disco. Yeah, snaps for that. But yeah, go check it out. It's on Thrasher, YouTube. I'm not really sure where else you can find it. But Chris Colburn is a ripping skater. And Cobraman is a ripping band. So.
This has been Rekai's video part of the week. Woo-hoo!
I just want to thank you guys for being on this podcast. Sean and Levi, everybody, round of applause. Snaps.
Wow. Awesome to be here. Thank you, guys. It's amazing.
Yes, it's been awesome. It's been an experience. Thank you very much. Yeah.
I hope you get that alien out of your body soon.
I will be making sure. Yep. I don't know what medicine I need, but I'll get it out.
Yeah, thank you, Sean and Levi, my two hometown friends, which is also
the
really
hometown
crazy.
Heroes.
It's like, because I have like two different groups of friends. I'm sure you do as well.
Oh, yeah.
You have your hometown friends, and you have your friends like snowboard people.
Totally, yeah.
So it's like two worlds colliding, really.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
well, for
it's
me,
cool.
It is. Yeah.
Well, that was like you having you in Colorado with all my friends.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
huh?
It's super cool. It's really fun to have the different groups collide. And it's great when we all get along.
Apart from that Tyrell guy, I know you guys don't really like him.
Except for that penguin ass looking mother.
That guy. I mean, honestly, screw that guy. All my homies hate that guy.
All my homies. Nah, we love you, Tyrell. Don't listen to this and think we don't like you none more. Anyway, signing off. Bye. Or is that a
damn, that was abrupt as hell. I know we were talking about abrupt endings.
That was really abrupt.
Anyway, that has been the end of this week's episode of the Bored Podcast.
That is the end.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to come back next week. We're uploading these every week.
We are uploading these every week.
Heck yeah.
Hell
and
yeah.
And if you liked it, make sure to let us know.
Yeah, let us know. And
let us know on our Instagram, theboardpodcast_.
Buy some of our merch, you freaking sheep.
That's right. Go buy our merch. It's available right now.
Just kidding. You're not sheep.
But you should buy our merch.
Yeah.
And this has been the public service announcement.
Yeah. All right.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Say bye.
Bye.
Cheerio. Bye.
Ah.
The Antichrist.